This is Clare FM.
Good afternoon, I'm Gavin Grace. La Hinch has borne the brunt of the latest storm to hit Clare's coast, leading to the most significant flooding event in the county in over 4 years. Major damage has been caused to businesses and homes, some of which were evacuated this morning. Houses in parts of Quilty have also been flooded. La Hinch Promenade has been devastated by what locals have described as the strongest storm in memory. From La Hinch, I'm joined on the line now by Clare FM's Amy Ryan, who's been there for much of the day. Can you describe, first of all, the extent of the damage that you've seen today?
Well, Gavin, the damage here along the promenade in La Hinch is absolutely devastating. People familiar with La Hinch will know that there's a lot of white railing that was put in place here. That has either been blown away or has been severely damaged. The tarmac along the walk has been lifted and rocks have been thrown over the promenade wall. The full car park here is underwater, and two vans that weren't moved out of the car park are underwater here as well. You know, there's holes, people can't walk, there's ESB poles down, the entire car park flooded. It's just utterly devastating.
And what's happening now then? Is there a big cleanup underway?
Well, there's no major cleanup here on the promenade because of the further bad weather that's been forecast over the next couple of days. There's also a high tide expected at 6:30 this evening, which is worrying local people. Now, businesses and shops themselves have begun to tidy up inside and try to get rid of some of, you know, damaged wet carpets and, you know, such as Anton O'Looney of O'Looney's Bar here along the promenade that people will be familiar with. I was in O'Looney's Bar earlier and I spoke to Anton as he was cleaning, and he had this to say.
It was unbelievable. I got a call just shortly after 6 o'clock, and I came up, and coming up the Liscanna Road, it was flooded. Then came and there was fire brigades, you know, across blocking you from coming over to the prom. I said to them, I need to get over, and they said, no, you're not going over, it's too dangerous. So I said, business premise over. So my business is right on the prom in La Hinch. So it was just, you had to fight your way over because the wind and the waves were so huge. I suppose it's a bit like, if you take it in mind, that the waves were breaking at the same level as the prom in La Hinch. So the waves were actually lifting off the prom and then breaking over the buildings along the promenade in La Hinch. I mean, you probably look down the prom, it's like Armageddon down there. It's a total disaster zone.
Now, you're trying to do a bit of a tidy up in here today, but also you're keeping in mind that there is more bad weather forecast.
Yeah, there's very weak seas forecasted for Monday as well. So it's kind of hard to know. You know, you can do so much, but you're not going to keep out the force of the sea. So you'll do what you can, and after that, it's in the lap of the gods.
A very good morning and a happy new year. I'm John Cook with you between 9 and 11. And on today's show, well, 2014 has got off to a stormy start here in Clare. But as storm-battered communities along the Clare coast count the cost of last week's massive waves and flood damage, they're also facing a hammering from the elements this morning. We'll be checking in with those worst affected in La Hinch, Carrigaholt and other areas to find out about the cost and challenge of repairing their homes, businesses and communities. And we'll have the very latest on flooding, traffic issues and the weather warnings to come, so do stay tuned. I'll also be asking Clare County Council about the full extent of the damage, the major clean-up and repair work to be done, and its cost. And you can get in touch to let us know how you...
I just saw a couple of minutes ago one of the lampposts down in the car park just go pop into the sea, and it's peeling the tarmac at them like you peel an orange, yeah? Just whipping it up.
You've been watching the waves this morning, so from your windows there. Are you safe there, Anton?
I feel I'm safe. Most people mightn't agree with me, though, you know.
Right. You're keeping a sense of humour about it all, anyway.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know? Are the waves still coming at you there?
Yeah, they're still coming.
And
did you hear that?
I did, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that's the wave after hitting the frontal windows here.
Right, and you're safe, yeah. Because we know that the waves took out some windows, didn't they, along buildings?
No, the waves took out my door, that's all. Here's another one coming out. Did you hear that one?
I did hear it, and yeah. I waited for with silence in case listeners were wondering, because I wanted to hear it. It's the waves are actually battering the building and coming up onto your top floor windows.
Yeah, and they have been, for the last 2 hours now, because we thought the tide was going back, but it's not, because there's a ferocious wind after cooking up behind it.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't get much more intense than that, does it?
Let's check in with some other areas of the county, and Quilty in particular now. Danny McCarthy's in Seafield. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, John.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Tell us where you are now and what the situation is.
Much appreciated for your reporting. It is devastating down here. It was in Seafield, the Quilty Road. 14 houses, two of them written off with high tides. Are you with me, John?
I'm with you, Danny. Take your time. You're obviously upset.
Oh, yeah. Poor representation, John. 2 years, I begged, written. I have about 50 letters here. I asked them just for Amber Stone to protect our homes that were vulnerable. 2 years ago, 2011. And the politicians coming along and want to progress it to stop the Atlantic Ocean when I asked for Armour Stone to break the waves coming in. And now, the Friday morning, my neighbour, John O'Connell, the Coast Guard, rescuing his two children. And the same went out into the Coast Guard. I mean, and there's no mention. It's like, it's all about Lahinch, like, and Carrigal Hall. And I can understand that. But it's like we're a forgotten world down here. 14 houses destroyed.
I want to assure you, Danny, hang on a moment. Take your time now, because I know you're upset there. I want to assure you that we want to know very much what's going on in Quilty as much as everywhere else. So is your house is one of those affected, Danny, or is it your neighbours?
It is indeed. A new house, a couple of years old.
Well, whereabouts is it specifically? Tell our listeners.
This is south of Quilty by 2 miles.
This is Clare FM's main lunchtime news.
I'm joined on the line up with Clare FM's Amy Ryan. Can you tell us, first of all, for people unfamiliar with the area, what this locality is like and what it's left looking like after the past few days of bad weather?
Well, I'm about a kilometre and a half outside Quilty itself, and there's 14 houses along a little road, and literally 14 of them have gone underwater. Earlier in John O'Connor's house, who you'll hear from in a couple of moments, and his house, he woke up and he thought he had no idea what was going on. The whole downstairs was flooded. He said they were lucky because they're a two-story house and they were able to, rally the kids together and sit upstairs until the worst of the storm passed. But, Kilkee Coast Guard had to get their boat into the front door to rescue the two kids here at 7:30 on Friday morning.
I was down the road there. My son, we slept downstairs and I could hear the toilets gurgling. I thought it was maybe the sewer they had blocked up or something, and I was up and down for a few hours, and I just walked past the front door and I could see the water coming in. I stopped to search my wife and said there's water coming into the house, and she thought I was in a nightmare, after waking up out of my sleep or something, but just grabbed the kids and brought them upstairs and just started to try to save as much as I could. I didn't know what was after happening. I could see the water coming in. I thought it might be rain or something, but I rang the neighbour next door, Danny, and he didn't know either. And next thing, I looked out the window and I see the water up to the far for the water around the house. We didn't know what to rush. Then he rang the Coast Guard there. And it's just about to get it bright, to get over the house. And since then, no, Jesus, we can't sleep or nothing. It's pure nightmare.
Now, the sea is actually in your front garden. You can see where the debris from the ocean came up on Friday, and it's a struggle to get up this road, and never mind to try get into the house.
Can't come up with the car till there an hour ago. I was up at 8 o'clock this morning, couldn't come up to the house. Just up and down all yesterday, trying to throw a few bits down to the kids. A few ties and stuff, trying to keep content.
And how are the kids? Are they scared after the experience, or...?
Asking questions, when will we back into the house? And can't answer them, sure. I don't know, we'll never again be back in.
Clare FM.
Good afternoon, I'm Lisa Lawler. Residents in North Clare communities affected by flooding in the last number of days are hoping the worst is behind them. Clean-up operations are underway in Lahinch and Liscannor, where Clare FM's John Cook has been meeting with locals.
That's right, Lisa. I'm in Liscannor this afternoon and I've met residents that are angry. They live along Liscannor Pier, where the seawall was breached over the last few days and again overnight. And basically they're looking out over a stone wall now that is in pieces, and they can see waves coming towards them. They fear what might happen tonight, but they're hoping the situation will ease. There's still high winds and fears of more high tides again tonight. In Lahinch, the cleanup operation is ongoing as locals survey the damage caused by the storms of the last few days, particularly on Friday morning, and they may not be over the worst of it yet. They're hoping they are. Certainly, this cleanup operation is going to go on for some months. People are looking for seawalls, new defences against floods and the elements that will take months and many millions of euro to provide.
Kit Lysett, we're taking shelter in off Liscannor Pier, but it's home for you. Your house is right here along the pier. So can you tell me how the last few days have been for you?
An absolute nightmare. Just waiting to be completely and totally washed out. Two nights now, we have been blocked in. Our my brother's house and mine, both houses have been like they were built in the shore down on the beach. Nothing but rocks. Just wait, watching the water coming, the waves coming, and waiting for the rocks to come through the door, basically. If the wind changed the other night, my glass door was broke, and there was absolutely nothing would have stopped it. And we were only saved last night by, there was no wind. It was the surge of the power of the sea that was coming. But if there was wind driving it, these two houses wouldn't be standing today. We have no protection. We have no wall. We got no assistance from the council. As you know, and as I know, Enda Kenny will have to go back to the Tri-Kit to do something now for the people, for the local people. It's nothing I've heard. Nobody came to Liscannor until I made several phone calls yesterday. Nobody approached us, rang us to know whether we're dead or alive. All you could hear was Lahinch, Lahinch, Lahinch. That was it. The rest of the county just, it's not important. It's the tourism in Lahinch that's drawing the people and all this. They're not worried, and their promenade. They don't give a damn about the ordinary fishermen in Liscannor. They don't give a damn. Nobody came anywhere near the place.
You're upset, Kit, and a bit angry.
I'm very upset and very annoyed. And I hope, now that they see the devastation that we're facing, that they will have it in their power to build, to at least build a seawall out there for us. Because as you can see, if it comes again tonight, I just don't know how we'll cope.
An emergency response team meets this lunchtime to discuss the massive bill faced by coastal communities in Clare and elsewhere. And Minister Brian Hayes has told Clare FM that a number of agencies will be asked to contribute funds. He also says local authorities have been asked to provide the government with an initial assessment by next week.
The Taoiseach will be briefing the entire cabinet next week as to the scale of the damage, and obviously as we need as much information before then, and the local authorities will be informing us all as to how much damage has been done. But the government is fully committed to responding to this and making sure that adequate resources are put in place to repair a lot of this damage which has occurred.
This is Clare FM.
Good evening, I'm Lisa Lawler. Clare County Council says nearly €24 million is required to repair damage caused along the county's coastline in the stormy weather of the past week. Councillors have been told that two dozen different areas are in need of funds. Clare FM's Amy Ryan reports from Áras Cundey on Clare.
Clare councillors are continuing to debate the preliminary storm damage report this evening before it's sent to the Department of the Environment. It's estimated €23,761,043 will be needed to repair the damages caused to Clare's coastline by Storm Christine.
Latest storm causes major damage throughout Clare and communities on alert ahead of fresh high tide.
This is Clare FM.
It may be the first day of spring, but today's storm is the latest major weather event to wreak major damage on infrastructure and property in Clare. In an all too familiar sight, coastal communities felt the full force of the Atlantic from early this morning when high winds and heavy rains coincided with a high spring tide. Areas along Loop Head and the Shannon Estuary are among the hardest hit this time around. One home was flooded in Kildysert, while hundreds of acres of farmland there and in nearby Ballinacally, untouched last month, are now submerged. In the most western parts of Clare, farmland in Ross was also flooded. Kilcredon has been cut off once again, while parts of the main road in the village of Kilbaha were effectively wiped out, while water there came into two homes. Local businessman Bernie Keating says it's of grave concern ahead of more stormy weather over the coming days.
The road is really nearly taken out fully now. It's closed off again. There's no access now to Fordra or Kilbaha at the moment. What we're worried about here now is if a vet has to get in this evening to an animal, or an ambulance has to get in to take a person out of here, there's no way of getting them in or out. Even for a helicopter to come in here now, it's too windy.
Kilkee had largely escaped last month's storms, but not today. Parts of the seawall built during the time of the famine were washed away in a matter of hours. Town Mayor Councillor Paddy Collins says the damage there is some of the most extensive ever seen.
A lot of damage done. We haven't seen damage done like this in any scale. The last time there was any damage done to the wall was about 20 years ago. But the damage that's done now at the moment, you'd be going back to nearly the tidal wave in the 1950s was the last time anything on a comparable level was done before.
Quilty Village was badly hit once more, though an interim barrier erected at Clohaninchy, where over a dozen homes flooded last month, did keep the worst of the damage away. Lahinch Promenade is badly damaged, while in other North Clare communities such as New Quay, Doolan and Clahan's near Liscannor, storm defences, which had been repaired since the last storm 4 weeks ago, were washed away.
Coastal damage at White Strand and Dunmore in Dunbeg was estimated at €237,000 in January, but following Storm Bridget on February 1st, that figure has increased to €1.5 million. In Kilkee, Storm Christine brought damage estimated at just €75,000 in January, but after the extreme weather events of the last 10 days, that's now at €875,000. In Carrowmore, costs have gone from €18,000 to €1.6 million. New Quay was €1.8 million, now €3.5 million. Lahinch, €5.8 million, now almost €6.1 million. These are just some of the revised figures put before members of Clare County Council this afternoon, as the county manager said they're now requesting funds of €36.8 million from government to clean up and repair the coast, up from the €23.7 million figure submitted last month. As Tom Coughlin outlined how the council has already spent €750,000 it doesn't have on repair work so far, councillors are calling on central government to cover all costs when the latest bills are examined by cabinet later this week.
Clare FM's Morning Focus with John Cook. With John Cook.
Will there be money forthcoming from the government for those works? Because while money was announced for the storm damage, say, in January, in Kilkee it happened in early February, and I don't think there was a second round of funding actually announced yet for those works.
No, there's £16.2 million already allocated to Clare County Council across a range of projects in relation to road infrastructure, piers and harbours and coastal protection. And there's £4.58 million for, say, tourism-related and road-related facilities right around the country as well. So in difficult times, it's a fairly significant response out of the £62 million that was allocated nationally, £16.2 million to Clare. So we are looking at all the opportunities that we need to look at financially with the Department of Finance to see what we can do to ensure that projects like the one here that's essential and that has to be done in order to open up the road again are prioritised, and they have to comply with the statutory processes. Unfortunately, it takes a bit longer, but we are anxious to make sure that the work will be done as quickly as possible.
So there will be more money coming for the likes of Kilkee and some of the later
damage?
Well,
we're in discussions with the Department of Finance. There's a multi-annual budgetary framework, so during the course of the next few weeks I will be speaking with Brendan Howland, the Minister for Public Expenditure, to see what we can do to help further. But £16.2 million is a fair start.